Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
We're talking football with the professor, John Clayton, as we do every day here with Wyman and Bob. If you guys have questions for John, text them in, 421-3776. Again, 421-3776. We'll try to get to some of your questions before we let him go for the day. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
Boy, what a day yesterday, right? Oh, I mean, we talked about Russell with you, and we speculated on Bobby, and you said, I think I'm getting a little pessimistic, and then it was like a couple of hours later, they released him.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you're not, at least I wasn't surprised that they did that. We knew something was going to happen in the way of, addressing how much he was making. But just that it happened on the same day where you got the massive news of Russell Wilson was sort of like a 1-2 punch.
It really was. And what I'm looking at is that, it's like what I thought I wrote yesterday for the website, that it was going to be a minor rebuilding. Well, now it's a major rebuilding. And you can see that. And more moves can be made. We don't know what they are. And so what you're looking at is that this team is going to take a couple years to be able to get back to playoff level, because they're not going to be there this year. And we'll see if they can find a quarterback. I mean, they didn't get the chance to get Carson Wentz because he went to Washington. And you figure Jimmy Garoppolo is probably going to go to Indianapolis. So it's like, they're running out of options for quarterbacks. So what do they do?
Yeah, with Bobby, getting back to that, where do you envision, I think there's a decent chance that this could be it for him. I feel like he might want to just play for one team and that be his story,
his
of
legacy,
his life,
Dave.
Bob. I'm not saying legacy. But yeah, I mean, I feel like, he's probably a Ring of Honor guy and the whole thing. But do you envision him playing somewhere else? And if so,
I think he'll try, but it's going to be tough because there's so many fewer teams running a 4-3 defense. And I'll ask you this, Dave, can he fit into a 3-4? I think it's unnatural.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so either. I mean, this is very basic, but with a 3-4, you're lined up over a guard. Now, not all the time, because they can shade and stuff like that. They can find ways to protect you, but the 3-4, just my experience was, in the 3-4, you have a very high chance of having to take on a guard.
Uh-huh.
And Bobby has not taken on offensive linemen over the last 2 years, really.
Yeah,
they've shielded him and made it so, he's just running around making tackles. So, yeah, I think it's much less likely, because if he's asked to do that, I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, I haven't seen him do that kind of thing in a few years.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So, yeah, you might be right. I don't know. I could see him calling it good. He was very into the whole business thing. Remember last year he had his little moments where he was talking about different businesses and what he's investing in and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to say, John, he has done really well for himself, right?
Oh,
as far as the contract goes.
Fantastic. Getting the $18 million was sensational. But, you look at the 4-3 teams, like he's not going to go to the Jets, because they've got C.J. Mosley. I mean, maybe the Washington football team, the Commanders, not Commandos, have a chance to look at him. But again, you got Shaq Thomas in Carolina. I mean, you just go around and you look at the middle linebackers, and they're pretty much taken care of. Now, I know that you've got Matthew Judon pushing for him to come to New England, but they're a hybrid 3-4 defense, so it's like that doesn't seem to be a fit.
John, a couple of people asking, and I touched on this earlier thing, is because of the amount of money he had coming to him, but people asking, why didn't they try to trade him, get something in return for him? I'm imagining there were teams that were just saying, we're not going to pay that much.
Well, because again, it's like if you're going to trade him to a 4-3 team, it's going to be the same thing for him trying to find a 4-3 team. Mm-hmm. There's not many teams running the 4-3 now. I mean, they run hybrids, we're mostly 3-4s, and so because of that, what kind of value are you going to get?
Yeah, that's always disappointing when you trade a established player at what you get in return, mm-hmm. as far as draft choices go. Yeah, I mean, if it's a person-for-person trade, yeah, that's different. But
who's going to trade for somebody who has a $16.5 million base salary.
Right. Yeah.
That's going to be tough.
Somebody else asking if you think he's a Hall of Famer if he retires right now.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, he's had such a great career, you know, because I think, you know, through the 2010s, I mean, the best two middle linebackers I thought were Luke Kuechly, you know, in Carolina.
Kuechly, yeah.
Yeah, Luke Kuechly and him, and he ended up lasting longer and doing better than Luke Kuechly.
Yeah, absolutely. What other news you working on is Russell Wilson? How dominant of a story is that nationwide? I had a couple of different. One was in Denver, our buddy Mark Schlereth, but then an XM interview. You probably, since you're out here in Seattle, been talking to people. How big of a deal is it around the country?
Huge, because what it's done is taken the Denver Broncos, you know, a team that hasn't made the playoffs in about 6 years, and taken them now to the fifth rating as far as maybe going to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl. And so that's huge, because now they have a quarterback who can compete against the nine good young quarterbacks in this league.
Hmm. Hey, John, as far as Deshaun Watson, which seems to be, you know, we've got a clip of Adam Schefter talking about Seattle being interested. Richard Sherman, we'll play that later. But there seems to be a bit of buzz about a potential connection or landing spot in Seattle. What's the reality of that, do you think?
I'd say no, because, again, when you have a woman owner like Joy Allen, I can't see her endorsing that with his off-the-field things that he's done, the 21 lawsuits. I think that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing, but, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think that's really a pipe dream.
Yeah,
so.
Agreed.
Hey, I saw that Brian Flores talked about his lawsuit, and there's something about sending the case to arbitration as the potential to possibly derail the suit. What do we know about the progress in that whole thing?
I doubt it, because, again, I think he's fighting to keep the case on there because he wants all the evidence to come out of what happened to him and what was going on and what's going on in the National Football League. So I think he's going to fight that every way of the you can, and I think he's definitely going to win. You know, because, again, I mean, he made the aggressive move that could have kept him out of football. I mean, he was fortunate that Pittsburgh brought him in, but, again, you know, he had no guarantee that was going to happen.
Hey, John, as far as the Seahawks salary cap goes, are they second in the league now with the most room?
Pretty close,
I thought that's what I read earlier today.
Yeah, because, again, what they did, they saved, $16-plus million dollars on Wagner. You know, they saved 11 on Russell Wilson, and so they were at like 35, so that should have taken them, you know, all the way up to in the high 70s, and so they've got more cap room than just about any other team in the league.
Hey, John, you talked a little bit about Carson Wentz going to the Commandos, but what do you make of
Commanders?
Carson? I know. I like your name better.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
The Commandos. Carson Wentz, what do you make of his career? It's kind of interesting. Bob read a tweet earlier from Darius Leonard saying, man, 5 years, five different quarterbacks, and him being one of them. And I don't know, you look at his numbers, like he's good, but like in big moments. So, for example, the Jacksonville game where they had to win in order to get to the playoffs, and it was Jacksonville, and they lose, and he was terrible in that game. He threw for like 180 yards, threw an interception. I don't know. Are we going to get good Carson Wentz there or bad Carson Wentz? He's just kind of up and down.
Yeah, and it shows, I think, you know, internally, he doesn't show great leadership, and that doesn't do well. Now, again, here he's with a coach that he's worked well with in Frank Reich, and if Frank Reich, not that he endorsed the trade, but if he couldn't stop the trade, then you can see that, there's something wrong there. And so, again, but the options aren't great right now for quarterbacks. And so it's like, Washington had to do something, and so they ended up trading for Carson Wentz. And look at the value they got. I mean, they traded two third-round picks to get him, and then moving up five spots in the second round, and that's it. That's all they had to do. I mean, they picked up his entire salary, which, of course, I think that's what Indianapolis wanted. But now Indianapolis has to scramble for a quarterback too.
What is the word on him as a guy? You talked about his leadership. I was reading something today that there was a source, and take it for what it's worth, saying the aw shucks kind of guy is more of an act, that he's, you know, behind closed doors, he's selfish, he's hard to deal with, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. He's a me guy, you know, not a team guy. Have you heard that about him?
In Philly, I did, yeah. I didn't hear it in Indianapolis, but I guess it probably did carry over because, again, they made the trade. And, and really from the beginning of the off season, that's all they talked about is we may not bring Carson Wentz back. And so it's like, I think you can see there had to be something there in that regard. And so it played to the negative work of Carson Wentz. And so now he has to move to a different team.
What's your definition of a teardown, John, or a rebuild? Because I think it's different if you have a franchise quarterback. If you trade just that one guy, yeah, that might qualify. But now for the Seahawks, I mean, you people from the outside especially are looking, wow, there's two biggest leaders on defense and offense. As far as that goes, what's your definition? Would you call that, what's going on here in Seattle, a rebuild?
I definitely do now. You know, particularly once Bobby Wagner was released last night, you know, because now, I mean, you lose, you know, two potential Hall of Famers that have played so well, have led so well, have been good leaders, and they're now gone. And so because of that, you know, you lose, you know, one of your best players on defense, and then you lose your best quarterback. So I think you can say this is a major rebuild.
Yeah, so who are the two replacements if you just had to pick a captain on each side of the ball? I mean, two of them that I would think of aren't signed.
Yeah.
One
Dwayne
would be
Brown.
Dwayne Brown, the other Diggs, Quandre Diggs.
Yeah, agreed.
Jamal Adams, probably.
I don't know about him being, I mean, he's somewhat of a leader, but he's, you know, a little bit different. So I think, you know, Diggs and Dwayne Brown would be the two big leaders on the team.
Yeah.
Two free agents.
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine for Seahawks fans going, oh, great. Well, not only the play on the field, but also the leadership. And then the two guys that you think of the most aren't signed with the team. So
no, I know.
I can understand the sort of panic or whatever. It'll be interesting to see how people handle this. How would you say the texters have done, Bob, as far as there's a little bit of hysteria, but
about Russ?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'd say it's kind of split. I think Bobby, there was a feeling of it being inevitable. I mean, I think people understood where he was at in his career versus what he was being paid. You know, it's sad. You get attached to these guys. He's a model citizen, as you talked about. You're so used to him. He's just rarely hurt. He's always on the field. He plays 100%. I think you just used to him being there. So it's a shock that way. But I don't think the move, the Russell thing's more split. That's much more split. But, John, if we're looking at this going, okay, yeah, they're committing to a rebuild, could there be another move that surprises us? We brought up that tweet I saw yesterday from that verified account saying the Seahawks are listening to offers for Tyler Lockett. I don't know if DK Metcalf all of a sudden decides, hey, we don't have a quarterback. Why do I want to sign an extension here?
Yeah.
Maybe they move here. I mean, is that out of the realm of possibility?
Everything's in possibility now. You know, because, again, I was the one who was wrong on the Russell Wilson thing. And, you know, it's like, I don't doubt anything right now at this stage, particularly when you're on a rebuild, you know, because, you know, they've gone from 6 to 9 draft choices this year, and they added a first and a second next year. And so it's like, you know, anything can happen. And so it wouldn't surprise me anywhere if any one of those, you know, because again, Tyler Lockett's a high paid wide receiver. You know, Metcalf will be a high paid wide receiver. And you can get, I don't know what value you can get for Tyler, but you're going to definitely get great value for DK. So it's like nothing surprises me.
Yeah, I agree. And then the other thing is, you know, just we were having a discussion about this with Bump, that if Pete doesn't know who his franchise quarterback is going to be,
right,
probably go back to the run game, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
no
that's
doubt.
That's where he wants to go anyway. And, you know, maybe that changes what you look for. And maybe you don't de-emphasize offensive line. You just sort of change the focus that you're looking more at run blockers as opposed to pass blockers.
No, I think what you're looking at right now is that, you know, they've got the 9th pick, and I don't see them taking a quarterback. And so I think that they'll lean toward taking a left tackle. That's a possibility because now they have the ability to get one of the better ones in the draft. And they could take a cornerback, But again, that's not their nature to take a cornerback that high. And so, and they could take an edge rusher. But I think right now, you know, their first pick could be a left tackle or a tackle. I don't know about left or right, but I think their first pick could be a tackle.
Would you say it's more likely they make a pick there or they trade the pick?
No, I think they make a pick.
You think they make a pick?
Yeah.
It's that, boy, that would fly in the face of what John's done in years past.
Well, no, because when John trades a pick, it's in that lower part of the first round. I mean, he's not had the ninth pick in the draft, you know, since the second year.
Yeah, with Earl Thomas and Russell Okung. Hey, as far as the money they've got, and whether they're first, second in the league, wherever, they're amongst the top three. Mm-hmm. How do you see him spending it? Do you see him going out and taking a big swing at a notable free agent, couple of them? How do you see that money being used?
Well, I mean, now they got so much money, you know, I mean, they may take a big swing. I'm kind of wondering about Ryan Jensen, you know, down in Tampa, the center, who's really good, and he'll get, you know, $15 million, $14 million a year. I don't know. They might do that.
Mm. Yeah, it'd be interesting. As far as the draft choices go, John, we had a discussion about this. I mean, I feel like it's, you know, it's you get judged harshly because the entire draft is a crapshoot.
Mm-hmm.
And then when, you know, things fail, then it's like, oh, they're not very good at it. But that's kind of the way it is anyway. So as far as if you look at how teams draft, I always say the only way to look at it is to compare it to other teams.
Right.
That are like them, that are drafting in the same spot. Do you see them as a good drafting team or a bad drafting team?
A good drafting team. Yeah, because, again, when you're drafting in the lower part of the first round, you know, what you're getting is a guy with a second-round grade. And so because of that, you're not going to get that first-round impact that you think you're going to get. And people still don't understand that, but that's a reality. And that's why John Snyder, when he has the opportunity, would like to trade back from the first round to the second round and get more picks. And so now you can see with the nine draft choices, you know, John is in a position where he probably, because again, he likes 10 or 11. And so there'll be something else that may be a trade or two that gets him up to 11, but that or 10. And that's just, I think, the nature of John Snyder. And so they want a lot of picks.
And one of those that had just not worked out, LJ Collier. What do you think? Is this pretty much it for him?
Yeah.
I mean, he is, you know, he's been kind of there. Like, he's, I don't know. If you
he's
looked
done
at
nothing.
Him, you wouldn't even really say, like you say, Rasheem Green. I mean, that guy is maybe not a starter everywhere in the league, but he's produced and been a nice backup. But for LJ, man, there's been very little to go on with him.
Right, and basically they signed a guy as big as him, you know, or getting in the trade, they got Shelby
Harris,
yeah. So as I got him, and so it's like it's. And again, if you move LJ Collier, you're not going to get anything for him other than maybe, you know, 6th, 7th round pick in 2023. That's going to be it.
If you put me and Clayton's brain together, we would never screw up a name.
No, never.
we help.
You get a first name,
out.
He'd get the last,
yeah,
or vice versa.
There we go. We're just going to ham and egg it.
No doubt.
Hey, John, in terms, I'm sure you gave it some thought last night, but just of the potential spot fillers at quarterback for the Seahawks out there, you know, the veterans that are available, is there anybody you feel fits them best or is most likely to end up here?
It's hard to tell. I mean, I think Marcus Mariota should be somebody they can consider. You know, that can be one option. I don't know.
Is he a free agent or would they have to trade for him?
No, he's a free agent.
Okay.
Okay, so it's like Marcus Mariota is out there. You know, I don't know if they would look at Jordan Love. That could be a possibility, but there's some reports that, you know, they want a second-round pick for Jordan Love. There's no way that's going to happen. So that's an option. Sam Darnold is an option.
No, so, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I'll take
you.
Drew Lock.
Yeah, Darnold is – I haven't been high on him since day one, and he's kind of lived down to my expectations.
But yeah, yeah.
What about – and we brought this up yesterday, the backup for Lamar Jackson, Tyler Huntley. He's – I don't think he's a free agent, but is
no,
that...
he's an exclusive rights free agent. And so, no, they're not going to get rid of him because they need him in case anything goes wrong with Lamar Jackson.
Mm. Yeah, you know, you mentioned Mariota. That's kind of a – That's a puzzling one. Where was he drafted? Do you remember?
Tennessee.
Yeah, but what number? Pick.
He was top
number
top,
two overall.
Number two.
Was he really number two overall? Yeah. Well, it just goes to show you how difficult it is to find a good quarterback in the NFL.
Jameis Winston was number one that year.
Was he really? Wow.
That's quite a draft.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Well, and you know, you look at Goff and Wentz. I mean, Wentz has probably, of those four, been the most successful, I guess. Mm-hmm. But
Where does Winston land? Does he go back to New Orleans, or where does he land?
I think he goes back to New Orleans because, you know, all these teams looking for quarterbacks are running out of options. And if that's going to be the case, you know, it's like they know him there. You know, he was dedicated and all that stuff. But it's interesting to see that on the list of Saints, you know, it's like Winston and Teddy Bridgewater are two of the considerations.
Mm. Yeah, you know, it's funny. One of the centers that the guy from Tampa Bay, and Ryan Jensen. You know, I was thinking, okay, they've got to go after and finally get Russell Wilson a center. So that really does change, you know, how they're looking at that. But it looks like they have a couple of good players there. But this will be an interesting one with the second most salary cap room in the NFL. Who's number one, Bob? Do you remember on that list?
Is it Jacksonville?
Was it Jacksonville?
Oh, no, I think it's Miami.
Oh, Chargers.
Chargers.
That's
you're right, Chargers.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Miami's still looking. That's the weirdest quarterback situation to me. Tua was another guy who I loved as a kid, just a good guy. You love listening to him talk. I just didn't buy who he was going to be as in terms of being a star at this level. And listen, he may still prove me wrong, but to this point, feels like, yeah, he's dealt with injury. He hasn't been that great. And every opportunity to address a rumor or be involved in a rumor of seeking another quarterback, they seem to be involved.
So no doubt.
Apparently they're not that sold on him either.
No, I mean, but again, they say that they're sold on him. But again, when you say something as a team, you don't know if you're hearing the right thing.
John, we appreciate it. We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, thanks.
There you go. If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at seattlesports.com. Well, there is actually a better quarterback available for the Seahawks, but the question is he worth the hassle that comes along with him? You're listening to Wyman and Bob on Seattle Sports Station on 710 and Seattle Sports app.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.